Happy Sunday, happy first Sunday of the year, and happy New Year. I pray that all of you will continue to be blessed through this new year, simply because you believe, and more because you follow Him. Now I need to introduce the book of Mark. Today, we're focusing on the chapter 1. Introducing someone, a book, or whatever it is, it's a challenge. So how do you introduce a person or a book or an organization? When we typically introduce someone, we typically call out their backgrounds. Like in my case, if someone to introduce me, they would say, his name is Tim Haas. He's a pastor of the Calvary Vision Church, also founder of a design firm. He's born in South Korea, came to the United States at the age 13, lived in Pennsylvania for 48 years. Went to Lower Merion High School, University of Pennsylvania. He's now 61 years old. Does that adequately satisfy me? It's a good information to have, but is that really interesting? Does that really tell who I am or what I believe or what I stand for and why I do what I do? No. And when you are especially not well known, nobody really cares. Remember Jesus? In the beginning, he was not well known. Nobody knew him. How do you introduce Jesus that we now know, but back then when nobody knew who he was? One thing for sure, as you know, Jesus never introduced himself that way. He never said that he was the King of Kings or his Savior, where he was born. Jesus' introduction was more about what he believed, what he stood for, and where he was going. These are the three simple things. And as we begin the new series on the book of Mark, you'll notice verse that causes one to act, one to do, one to simply believe and to prepare and to follow. So let me give you some basic background introduction about the book of Mark using noun, like places and what all things are nouns, places and the position and things like that. So here we go. The author of the book is John Mark. It was dated about 55 years after Christ. It was about the good news. It is the shortest of the four gospels, but it's very detailed. It talks about Jewish customs that, for the Roman readers, demonstrates the deity of Christ. It tells the story of Christ's ministry, especially the miracles. Now, not knowing who Jesus is, so if I were to introduce you the book of Mark, such just like that, does that excite you? If you don't know who Christ is. When I'm asked to introduce my friend or even daughters or anyone whom I'm very close like, then describing who that person is. Noun describes position, place, accomplishments. Verb describes intimacy. They describe actions and ways and often visions. For example, when I'm asked to describe about my father, instead of saying things like, he was a pastor born in a city in Korea who fought in Korean War, graduated such a seminary in college, he published 10 Christian books, married and had 4 kids. Instead of all that, I would describe my father using active and engaging verbs. Because only the verbs can describe what he was like, so that one might want to know him more or might want to connect with him. I would describe my father this way. My father served lepers for 13 years. The focus here is served. As a high school student, he volunteered and fought in Korean War for freedom. He was somewhat temperamental, but he was very giving and caring person, something that we can all relate. The fact that he was a pastor, born in this A city in Korea, graduated from such a seminary, does not represent his essence. His essence, my father's essence, was serving, fighting for what is right and giving to those who need. Let me ask you, how do you describe who Jesus is? Most people, and I said this many times before, most people would say, well, he's a son of God. He's a savior. He's king of kings. They're all expressed in nouns. Do they describe his essence? Yeah, to a believer, maybe. Does that cause one to make an action, to take an action, or go to take the next steps to prepare, to believe, and to follow Christ? This is how Jesus explained or described who he is. When he was asked, why are you here? He said, I came to serve. I came to save. That was his essence. That was his essence. That was his way of life. That was his mission. Everything he did focused or pivoted around the verb, not positions or places or the noun. Now, back to the book of Mark. Mark does a very good job using verbs to demonstrate who Jesus is and explain to us how and what we are to do. Mark had one thing in mind to describe Jesus as to what he stood for using verbs. The first verb that describes Jesus and also message to us is the verb prepare. God prepared. That means we are also to prepare the way of the Lord. Mark chapter 1, verse 3. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight path for him. I'll get into this a little more, but basically what the essence here is to prepare the ways, prepare our hearts, prepare to receive the Son. We do preparation all the time. Just a week or so, Janice was set to make some radish kimchi. I love radish. Radish is actually good for you. It's very healthy for you. It removes a lot of toxic from your body. So I was looking forward to it. So about a week ago, she goes to this store, buys this huge box. It's like this box. I don't know, it's radish about this big, there's got to be at least 15, 20 of them. They're like, why are you buying so much? There's so many. And then she makes sure she had enough and adequate ingredients that's needed to make radish kimchi. I don't know what it goes in there. I know it goes hot pepper goes in there, sea salt and stuff like that. That's all I know. I'm sure there's more. So early Saturday morning, which was yesterday, she prepares every single one of those radish, like a cleaning, peeling, and trimming, and things like that. And then what she did was all this leftover, when you trim the radish, and you got all these leftovers, and instead of putting it in the trash can or bag, she put it in the trash garbage disposal. I guess you know where I'm coming. It got stuck, got clogged. And when she just spin that thing or turn that on, the water actually reversed itself and just poured out. And she tried to fix. She was brave, go underneath, went underneath the cabinet, and I was there trying to help. And we unscrewed the U-pipe, and oh my, everything just poured into the cabinet, out to the floor. She created a huge mess. But in other words, she was preparing. You see, when we try to prepare something, good things happen, but in the mess, sometimes it gets messy. But that's okay. That's a part of the deal. It's part of the process. When we try to do something, nothing is going to go perfect. Every project, I don't know, I worked about 1,000 different building facilities in my 30-some year experience. Every single one of them projects have problems, but it's a part of the process. It gets messy. Friendship is the same way. You try to nurture friendship in the midst, it gets messy. The point is, we need to prepare. Back to the verse. Who is the voice of one calling in the desert? Who is that? John the Baptist. Well, okay. It was about Mark, who is trying to make introduction about Christ. Then here comes John the Baptist. This is very significant. John the Baptist was a messenger. It was a messenger. Why is it significant? It's a messenger prepared by the Lord. He didn't just come up out of nowhere. He was prepared. God prepares for every move. If you look at both Malachi and Isaiah, God prophesied that he is going to send a messenger to prepare the way. And calling people to prepare for his coming. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Last series, we talked about messianic prophecy. In that, we talked about just about everything about Christ. It was foretold in the Old Testament. In other words, it was prophesied. From his birthplace, from the time, and how he's going to do ministry, and how he's going to be crucified, how he'll be ridiculed and rejected by people. It was all foretold. This is another one. The fact that someone is going to make the way, prepare for him, is also in the Old Testament about messianic prophecy. See, I will send my messenger, God speaking, who will prepare the way before me. Isaiah 40, verse 3. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness of highway for our God. This particular verse in Mark that we just read is from the Old Testament. Mark is just taking that and reciting it to give that importance of it. It's something that was already foretold. So therefore, people, listen up. Everything that had happened to Christ happened. God prepared. What is the message to us? We need to prepare. Now the question is, how? What are some things that Mark is teaching us in the chapter 1? How? First, there's another verb, confess. Mark chapter 1, verse 5. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. What did they do? Confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. They confessed. You see, believers or non-believers, we all sin every day. This is why we need to pray to confess every day. The more I am sorry you say to one another, the more you become likable. Did you know that? That's 1,000% truth. The more you say, I am sorry to one another, the more you become likable. Sometimes, Christina and I get into an argument. Either later that day or the next morning, sometimes she will text message me or say that I'm sorry. Usually it's shorter than I'm sorry. She says, say sorry. But it doesn't matter. It makes me feel so good and even closer to her. The more you confess to God, the more intimacy you will have with him. Did you know that? The more you confess to God, because we sin every day, the more intimacy that you have with God. So how do we prepare? We prepare by confessing. And the second thing, the second verb that Mark talks about is you now need to be baptized. It's also a verb. Mark 1:7-8 says, and this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. For it said, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. This isn't just about the difference between how John the Baptist and Jesus were baptized. It means for us to do the same thing, to baptize, to be baptized and to baptize others. When you are baptized, when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we talked about it in the last messianic prophecy, the Holy Spirit connects us with God. That's when we become his children. That's when we are recorded into the book of genealogy, the lineage. We become part of the Christ lineage. That we have, I think I said, 6,000 years of a genealogy history behind this. What amazing things. The other verb that Mark focused on, chapter 1, to describe God and what we are to do is the word believe. You see, the believing is not a passive word. People think believing is like, I don't really need any action because I believe. I believe in my spouse. I believe in my children. I believe in my parents. Therefore, I don't have to do anything. I just believe. No. Believing is not a passive. Believing is an action. It takes an action to believe. It takes a doing. It takes a move. It takes a change. It takes a commitment. It involves taking risks that may result in ridicules and even persecution. Mark 1, verse 15. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe, believe, believe the good news. What do we believe? We believe that he is the Son of God. Verse 9 through 11. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Verse 10. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Verse 11. And a voice, it's a voice. It's not simply a statement, it's a voice. Came from where? Heaven. Saying audibly, you are my God, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. The confirmation from God in heaven declaring to all of us, he is my son, equal to me. We believe that Christ, Jesus, is the Son of God. How would you show that when Christ was like not well known? To declare to the world that he is my son. That is why in this particular verse, it says, when he was baptized, heaven being torn open. Remember, when he took the last breath on the cross, the curtain of the temple were torn into two. Earth shook and rocks split. Who could do that? Signifying that only God can do this so that we can believe. Why torn? Because before Christ, the people of Israel went to a place, not to someone, went to a place called temple for atonement of the sin. It wasn't about someone. It was a place. They went to temple to receive the atonement for sin. That is why in back those days, regular people like you and I couldn't go up to the altar. Only priests were allowed. You need to be there to receive atonement of sin. It was a place. The fact that the curtain got torn apart, God is saying, you don't need to do that no more. You don't need to go to temple no more. You need to go to my son Jesus from this day on forth. That happened when he died on the cross. But when he made his presence known to us, when he was making introduction, same kind of thing happened. He saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit from the heaven descending on him like a dove. in case you've ever been wondering why we associate with the Holy Spirit with a dove, here's one example. The Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. Another time in Noah's, when they were looking for land, they needed some sense of comfort. It was dove that gave them a sense of comfort in life. So in the beginning, when nobody knew who he was, how do we know that he was the one or he is the one? So that we can believe. Jesus had to do something. In addition to God declaring that he's my son, Jesus had to do something. And you see in chapter 1, Jesus is on the move. Jesus heals people. Jesus was not concerned about his title or his position. He was concerned about you and I, and he wanted to heal us. Something that only God can do. Stating to the world, to you and I, that he is truly the Son of God, equal in power with God. He drove up evil spirit. Mark 1:25, "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." And the evil spirit left. We pray for healing, for sickness from our body to come out. We should continue to do that. When we see each other with the challenges, we should boldly go and pray in the name of Jesus to be quiet and get out of this person's life. Jesus then came to heal all of us, to make us new again, to make us whole again. Mark chapter 1, verse 33 to 34, the whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, and he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Jesus had a power over them. That's why in the name of Jesus, we can be healed. Jesus also healed the leprosy that no one could fathom that could be healed. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. A man with a leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." This man believed. This man believed. Do you believe? This man believed. And he put his faith into action. Believing is not passive thing. It's active thing. What did he do? He put his faith of believing that Jesus, he put faith into action. What did he do? He went. So when you believe, sometimes you don't do anything. He went. And what did he do? He begged. You know, message for us is that we need to do the same thing every day. We need to beg in our prayers. Just like this man who believed. We need to beg. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hands and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Believing is not a passive. It requires an action. The last verb Mark uses to describe Jesus and give us a message for us to have is the word follow. Follow. In other words, if you believe, you must follow. There has to be an action. Mark chapter 1, 17 through 18. Jesus said, come, follow me. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left the nets and followed him. Believing is not a passive thing. Believing is an active thing. Believing requires action, action to follow. We need to follow his ways. It says, at once they left their nets and followed him. When you believe and you follow, this is where his favor rests, following him. Jesus wants us to follow him. That's his way, and that's his command. Believing requires an action. To follow is to believe, or to believe is to follow. Follow is to believe is to follow. So how do we follow? According to the first chapter of Mark, praying is following him. Jesus made very clear, or God made it very clear on his behalf that Jesus is my son, that he is the son of God. He's son of God. He's son of God. So therefore, what did Jesus do? He followed God. He followed God. Even though he was equal to God, he followed God. How? By praying. Jesus followed, even though he's equal to God, he followed, put into action by praying to God. Jesus prayed. You may say, well, he's equal to God. Why does he have to pray? He is God. But he followed to give us a message. This means we too, as followers, we need to pray. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, 36. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark. I want you to just think about it. While it's still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place and where he prayed. Jesus prayed. Did you know that? I know you know, but did you really know that? It was kind of interesting. You know, I often go to South Korea and give a message early in the morning. What time did I say? They start 4:30 in the morning. And when I tell the people come here, they do the morning service 4:30 in the morning and say, they are crazy. 4:30 in the morning, that means we got to get up like 3:30 or 3 o'clock. Yes, that's what they do. It's still dark. Now, I'm not used to that. I was basically raised here. At first, I thought it was a cultural thing. Do you think it's a cultural thing? Not to them. They'll be offended when you tell them it's a cultural thing. It's very biblical. Because Jesus prayed while it's still dark. We're just simply following Christ. Even in Proverbs 31, she gets up while it is still dark. Now, I'm not saying we need to change up our ways and start gathering one more time, 4:30 in the morning or 5:30 in the morning. The point is, Jesus prayed. And that was Jesus' way of following God by praying. Jesus prayed to follow. Jesus prayed to prepare. He knew he was Son of God. Jesus also wanted us to believe. So as we continue to study the book of Mark, we should be focusing on three things. One, what does it say? Two, what does it mean to us? Three, what lesson is there in it for us? So in summary, the book of Mark, chapter 1, what does it say? He is the Son of God. That's what it says. Evidenced by the heaven being torn open and the Spirit coming down like a dove and the voice declaring, "You are my Son." God said it. What more proof do we need? That's what it says. What does it mean? That means that Jesus has the power that's equal to God, as evidenced by his healing of many who were sick. Also that he is a conduit for the reconciliation with God. That Jesus is a bridge over the gap of separation between God and us due to our sins. And that's the good news. What lesson is there in it for us? What lesson? We are to prepare and we are to believe. How do we prepare and believe? We follow him. We seek his power and his presence by praying, just as Jesus did. There's so much more to come in the book of Mark. So you don't want to miss it. Next several weeks, we're going to have fun and we're going to enjoy in his presence. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much.